I want to start the day by first saying thank you.
The past month has been one of the most difficult that Mary, my wife, those of you who don't know, and I have had to face. But never once did we feel alone or unsupported. For those of you who don't know, after years of waiting for the child, we found out in September that Mary was pregnant. We were, of course, thrilled, and many of you shared our joy. Early in December, we found out that our baby may not survive, and then over Christmas, our little baby passed away. We named him John, and very thankful for the brief time we had with him, and for God making us parents. Yeah. Thank you all for the messages of love and support, the notes dropped into our mailbox, the flowers, the food left at our front door. We're all little lights in the midst of darkness. Thank you most of all for all your prayers. Yes, it was a time of darkness, but even in the midst of this, we felt his presence guiding and protecting us. There's a story somewhere here to be told, but I think I'm too close to it right now to be able to tell it. So I'll stick to the topic for today. It's funny, but with everything going on, I was almost sure that I was not going to be able to do this. But God didn't let me. I felt God encouraging me to do it. If in the midst of darkness, I can confidently say that God is good, that God is real, that God is faithful, and that God acts in my life, then I can be that much surer that it's true. And that is the best way I can hope to evangelize. And that's what I'm here to talk about. As we move into a season of evangelization, I'm not here to teach you how to evangelize or even to do a word study on why we should evangelize. Instead, I'm here to give you my perspective on evangelization and encourage you to think about how you can evangelize. So to start with, what is evangelization? Yeah, there's so many definitions, and almost all of them involve some theological slant, but because it is a theological term. However, I really like this definition because of its simplicity. To talk about how good you think something is. Why evangelization? Primarily, evangelization is part of God's work in the world. The question is then, why does he need us? And the answer to that is, he doesn't. But he chooses to use us and allows us to participate in his work. So why do we do it? The obvious answer here is because Jesus told us to. In multiple places in the Bible, we are explicitly commanded to preach the gospel. I'm not going to go over these. Most of you are well-versed with these and could teach me. Instead, I thought I would share a bit of my perspective on why we evangelize. Sure, the Great Commission comes with a sense of responsibility and duty, which are important and necessary. But are we only interested in evangelization because we feel obligated to do it? I think a more powerful and effective way of thinking about evangelization is simply redefining what the gospel is to us. What I don't mean by redefining the gospel is changing the gospel. What I do mean is making it more than some distant, impersonal, historic account of Jesus and what he did, or even a philosophical way of understanding life and the world. Rather, evangelization is making his story our story. It's personal. Telling the story of what Jesus did, sure, but I'd be surprised if most people living in the West had not at least heard of Jesus and didn't know some bit of his story. What evangelization is to me is not just who he was and what he did, but more importantly, who he is to me and what he continues to do in my life and the lives of the people around me. There's a lot that's happened over the past month in my life, and simply paying attention to the work of God in the midst of it is actually such a powerful story, which I'm sure Mary and I will tell one day. Being able to tell of God's work in your life requires you to pay attention to God at work in your life.
It changes the gospel from something abstract, arbitrary, and distant to something real, present, and in action. If nothing else, it changes how at least I approach my life. I'm trying not to go from just one thing to the next, and not noticing the beauty and goodness in just everyday life, in the normal and the mundane, and especially in the difficult. And as a result, just trying to notice God, I'm just ever more grateful and joyful. Which leads me to the practical bit of evangelization. How can we get better at doing it? I have a few points I tried to make them a bit snappy, but fail, so yeah. Number one, following on from what I just said, pay attention. An obvious place to usually start is preparing a testimony. And whilst that's good, I think it resigns us to think of God's work in our lives as something that happened once upon a time. And it's also what subconsciously makes us think that the younger people in Green and Ear and YPO are more suited to do evangelization. Instead, what I want to say is simply, pay attention to God at work in your life and the lives of the people around you. If you think that God is not doing anything, or your life is boring, or worse still, everything is going wrong, then you're just not paying enough attention. Nothing like being 30,000 feet in a plane to make at least me realize just how not in control of my life I actually am, and how reliant I am on God for everything. Trying to bring that perspective into my normal life and not simply just take things for granted. He sustains me every day. There's nothing wrong with preparing a testimony, but if it's just a thing that happened to you once upon a time and so now you believe in God, then it's the same as any old story, which is too distant and impersonal. Point two, prepare. And by this I mean pray. Pray for people you may know that need to meet Jesus personally. Pray for the people that will come to our meetings. Pray for yourself. Pray for courage and boldness to step out, for wisdom to know what to say, for spiritual eyes to see where/who God is leading you to. Three, don't be afraid to share authentically. We live in a culture today where the right response to "Are you all right?" is either "All right, right back," or "Yeah, good, how are you?" Irrespective of if that's true or not. Not delving into why we do this or if it's good or not, I think that we can really shake things up when we genuinely ask and answer that question. It doesn't mean that you have to share your heart out to every single person you meet, but rather that you aren't afraid of being seen. Not everyone has to be doing well all the time. It's impossible. I was recently chatting to a colleague on Teams online, and I don't know this colleague that well. And when I was asked, "How was your Christmas?" I responded, "Actually, pretty difficult," and then proceeded to give a brief overview of what happened. I think I was more awkward saying it and kept apologizing for oversharing, but he, on the other hand, was super lovely and opened up about his own parenting journey and was super keen to help out in any way that I needed. So, again, tying this back to the gospel, it's personal. It's saying to the world, come and see what God has done and continues to do in my life. So being able to be vulnerable or authentic with people you don't know may not work for everyone, but don't be afraid of trying. Point four, make sure you're having a good time. If you're going to invite someone to come and see, and realistically, you don't like what they are seeing or aren't that enthusiastic about it, that's a problem. Again, don't simply invite people out of a sense of duty or obligation. If you do so, it'll show and they won't want to come back. Imagine inviting someone to watch a movie with you, and one that you've seen, and you tell them it's going to be amazing, and then you show up late to it, or worse still, you fall asleep through it. If you're truly convicted about community life, then evangelization is the most natural thing. It comes out of love for the brothers and sisters we are doing life with here. This is our community. These are our meetings. It should be a place of refreshment and life for you and me. Let's use the next few meetings not to simply go through the motions, but to rediscover why we chose to live this community way of life. Even if no guests come along, use it as an opportunity to go talk to someone here that you don't know that well. Share about what God's doing in your life. Be encouraged by what God's doing in someone else's life. Community life comes with plenty of opportunity to love and serve, so go all in on it. Christ-centered relationships, when truly Christ-centered, is like the most attractive thing in the world. People will want to be around us if we radiate His love. So make sure you're living the best community life you know how, and that in itself will be more effective than any talk or testimony. I'm going to invite Danielle now just to expand a little bit more on this community aspect of our life.